During the Chazon Ish, we're on page Tet, paragraph 11, Yud Aleph, Yashish Mitaveh Leitiv Lezulato. There's a man who desires to be benevolent to his fellow man. There are kind people who want to do good unto others. Hipaksho im re'eyu, when they meet their friends, hu lo lechedvat lev. That's a joyous occasion. What we might call an extrovert. Mekablo b'sever panim yafot, so he greets his friend with a warm countenance. Chared ulai lo kala l'matra lefi ruach re'eyu. He's concerned. He wants to get it right. He thinks maybe I missed something with regards my friend. Ulai diber davar shlo kohogen. Maybe I said something that was improper. Ken kev lev etzlo kakev shel pgiya b'kvod chavero. Nothing hurts him as much as that pain that maybe he hurt someone else. He's not talking about someone that's insecure. Okay, some people have these traits because they're insecure. So that's why the idea of hurting someone else is something that they can't handle. He's not talking about that. He's talking about someone who is secure. And nonetheless, he has a desire to be kind to other people. Or the thought that maybe he could have and should have done kindness to his friend and he withheld that from him. That also bothers him a lot. And he never gets hurt by his friends, because he is a loving person, and so anything they do wrong is easily wiped away with the affection he has for his friends.
So he's a good Jew.
He's a very good Jew.
You have to be good to the fellow man before you go to Hashem. That's it. Muhan merosh lekabel
ba'ava nemana pitzaim v'nzifot sheyachlok lo re'eu. And he is prepared to accept lovingly and faithfully the wounds that he might incur from the friendship with his friend. We're not talking about an abusive relationship, but a normal relationship where one is very kind. So he's willing to put up with other people's iniquities because he knows that most people are not that refined. Most people are not that careful. Most people will say things that can be hurtful unintentionally. And it's because they are not that refined. And so this person who is so kind and so refined is nonetheless very interested in having relationships with people, but he is forgiving. And it's not because he's stupid. And it's not because he lacks a backbone. He is confident. And he has self-worth. And he is so large that his heart can encompass even people who are less than him, and even people who will hurt him unintentionally. So he knows that most people are not so refined, so what can you expect of them? I sat at an event. There were a lot of people around, and I was supposed to do the circumcision. And I'm sitting waiting for them to prepare the circumcision, and a young man comes and sits next to me and puts his arm around me. So I look to see who this young man is. I don't know him. Okay, fine. I smile. Hi. He smiles at me. I ask him, "What's your name?" He doesn't speak the language. So he mutters something and leaves his arm on my shoulder. Okay. I'm sitting there. A second later, I feel his hand going on my yarmulke. And he sets my yarmulke to a different position on my head. And I look at him. And he goes like, he calm down. I just made it right for you. I say, okay. So you look at someone and you see something's not 100%. I still don't know what was wrong with this person. I don't know. He was later on, I saw him waitering the event, but it seems like, I don't know if he's a mute. I don't know if he's a little bit off. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know. But the question is, do we really get annoyed at someone because they have less capacities than we do? It depends on our attitude. If we're willing to recognize that that person really doesn't have it all, so he's missing something, so we can be patient with him.
And he's not going to hurt you, really.
Right.
As long as he doesn't want to hurt you.
He doesn't want to hurt me. He's trying to be nice.
Right.
He thinks it's nice to position my yarmulke differently.
Right.
A second later, he tried setting my suit straight. I was just concerned in the circumcision he shouldn't stick his hands in, right? But, okay. So, what the Chazon Ish is describing, though, is a relationship with equals. Meaning, can a person be so patient with other people? You know, when your child does something, so you have patience. What happens when it's someone else? We have a challenge right now. Our two-year-old doesn't discern between her dolls and the baby. So anytime the baby's sleeping, she wants to see why he doesn't open his eyes. So the first thing she does is go over there and try to pick up his eyes. That's her new game. So it requires a certain vigilance to pay attention. But do you get upset at her? Is she doing something wrong? She's doing what she's supposed to be doing. I have to be a parent, to be on top of it.
How can you get upset at her at that age?
But what happens when someone else does it? What happens when someone else does something which should bother us? The Chazon Ish is describing a beautiful human being. That even in his friends, he is patient. He is accepting. Now the Chazon Ish right away precludes the next step. The question is, can I love them, be patient with them, and not be condescending to them? Meaning, we feel like, okay, he doesn't understand, right? So I just described the guy at that bris. So everyone's thinking, right, you could put up with someone because you feel like he's an imbecile and you have the patience to deal with an imbecile. So, okay, fine, life goes on dandy. But what happens when it's someone who's your friend? And can you look at the person, can we look at the person, and treat the person with respect and dignity? And so the Chazon Ish right away says, this beautiful human being has feelings of honor and respect and value to these other people. And his heart doesn't think bad things about them. He doesn't look down at them. He doesn't disrespect them. Ki tafnukei ha-nefesh mefanekim et baleihem liyot meshamesh leman ha-tov ha-maleh. Because as one refines one's soul should view its task as being a servant who is striving for complete good in the world. Complete good means also to be accepting of those who are not yet complete good. Gam b'shnei hafachim b'noseh echad v'liyot ma'ashim et atzmo al kol shal al chesron ha-shlemut b'sgulat ha-midot. He says there's a contradiction here which a person can live with, where a person demands of himself the highest standard. And when a person sees that his traits are not perfect, so then he works on it. He says, I got to be better. Yet when he looks at his friend, even if his friend has done the most grave form of ingratitude or the most grave act that could be offensive, nonetheless, he's willing to accept him and look at him favorably and look at him kindly. Yekir ha-nefesh dinan, this precious soul of ours, and by the way, I wish you that in your lifetime you will merit to meet people like this. There are people like this. And we should strive to be people like this. Yekir ha-nefesh dinan eino doresh menafsho hitapkut yetera. This precious soul doesn't demand of himself this great capacity to hold it in, to contain himself. V'chagirat sherit koach neged haragzanut ha-tivit. He doesn't have to hold himself back from that natural anger that wells inside a person. V'neged kev shel halbanat panim, or to contain himself if someone shames him. Now he's going to invest a Herculean effort to take control of himself so he doesn't blow up. Ki nafsho kvar meluteshet umtzochtzachat sheinam kabel ktamim, because he's cleansed his soul to the point where it doesn't get stained. V'usova smachot v'gil benimot netzach. And on the contrary, he can maintain his tranquility, his happiness, the rejoicing of the soul, the pleasantness of the day for eternity. And that is a hallmark of greatness. The capacity to go unfazed. To be caring, yet to continue unfazed. To be able to deal with the world that's trying to cheat and steal. That's Avram in last week's parsha. Everyone's trying to cheat him. Avram just lost his wife. Avram's just come home from the Akedah. Possibly the most tumultuous emotional time in his life. And he has to deal with this pagan Ephron who's trying to cheat him out of something that's rightfully his. And all with a smile telling him, I'm going to do what's best for you, Ephron. How do you deal with that? The greatness of a person is when their soul is on such a level of balance and tranquility that although they are sensitive and they sense what's going on in the world, there's an inner peace and an inner balance that goes unfazed. And that stems from a connection with their Ribbono Shel Olam. If a person's inner peace stems from their connection with their wife, their connection with their livelihood, their connection with their home, all those external forms of peace that we all strive for, so then if one, God forbid, loses one's home, if one, God forbid, loses one's job, if one, God forbid, loses one's wife, Avraham Avinu was in such a state of disarray. Where's his life going to go from now? He almost lost his son, and that only son doesn't have a wife. He would have lost everything. His only servant is trying to figure out how to trick him out of his estate, maybe to get his daughter. Eliezer is trying to arrange that his daughter will marry Yitzchak. Hey, he has to be super concerned. He almost lost his son. Where were Avram's thoughts after the Akedah? He comes home to find his wife dead, and Hashem doesn't say a word. Now he has to deal and find a plot for burial, and this guy is trying to cheat him out of every penny. Avram is balanced. He's composed. He's composed internally, not just externally. And he's dealing. He's dealing with a smile, or whatever tranquility he can muster at the time. That's the soul that the Chazon Ish is talking about. That desire to do good, that patience to accept others even though they're not as good, where a person can be so demanding of himself to constantly work on perfection and strive for perfection out of balance. Often we strive for perfection because we're uptight, because we're not balanced. The ability to strive for perfection without being a perfectionist, where a person has the patience for others and his goal of perfection stems from balance. He can be whole with himself where he is today, yet strive to be better tomorrow. How often do we strive to be better tomorrow, but we're not whole with where we are today? That's not right. We have to say, good, thank God I'm here, and I am at peace where I am. With this peace, I will build tomorrow to be a better tomorrow. Ah, there are things I should have done different, right? I have to fix those too. But I have to work out of an inner peace. From that inner peace stems the love of the fellow man, the respect of the fellow man. The Chazon Ish just described a beautiful description. I don't know, I can't think of another source that describes the perfect human being so nicely and so succinctly. In two paragraphs, the Chazon Ish just described for us the balance a person should strive for, the love for humanity a person should strive for, the inner tranquility a person should strive for, the growth without being demanding of others. The Chazon Ish just gave us a beautiful description of where a person should be headed in the development of one's soul. And notice the recurring theme of inner peace, inner balance. It's very challenging, especially for a Chozer B'Tshuvah, to continue growing with inner peace. The easiest way to spurn ourselves to growth is by being pressurized. Let me take advantage of the time. Let me work harder at being a better person. Let me be careful not to say Lashon Hara. The easiest way is to use pressure. And it's wrong. A person has to work from a place of inner peace to be at peace with what he's accomplished today and look forward at how he'll accomplish tomorrow and continue growing gradually. That's growth that can continue. That's growth that propels further growth. The people who can grow out of calm, tranquility, and inner peace can continue growing. When a person's growth revolves around pressure, and it can be self-imposed pressure, then at some point a person fizzles out. It's like a match. You strike the match, you have a flame, but eventually it fizzles out. And again, the easiest way, the most natural way for us to work at first glance is to pressurize ourselves to do more. And that's not the right way to work. A person has to work out of inner peace. And then he can continue growing. Yes?
If you're always happy in that peace, doesn't that in a way not motivate you to grow more? Where's the line between being naive and being this perfect human being?
Part of what we'll learn is how truthful one has to be about where one is really holding. There's a difference between being desensitized and being at peace. The Chazon Ish speaks about a sensitive human being, a caring human being, but one who has attained inner peace. And I think one of the common denominators that I've seen in the experiences I've had coming close to the giants of Torah, be it Rav Avram Shapiro Zatzal, be it Rav Mordechai Eliyahu Zatzal, I could name a few more, Rav Birnbaum, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. I saw a common thread, Rav Pesen Zatzal. I saw a common thread. All of them were calm, peaceful people. And even though Rav Avram Shapiro is... his reputation is that he, Yom Kippur night, he wouldn't go to sleep the whole night long. He'd be pacing, reviewing the Shas. The story goes, when he came to the yeshiva in Hebron, so one of the kids, who later on became Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron, was walking by the library, and he saw a new face sitting on a ladder, learning. So he asked himself jokingly, I wonder if when I come back in 4 hours, that guy's still going to be on the ladder because he seems so focused. Well, 4 hours later, he came back and he sees him in the same position, still focused on the book. That's the intensity with which he studied. And even so, when he spoke to people, you'd always see a smile. You'd always see a calm, happy approach to life. Rabbi Feinstein, I don't remember a conversation I had with him that he didn't throw a joke. Same is true with Rav Avram Shapiro Zatzal. Same is true with Rav Nevin Zal. I can't remember a conversation where they didn't inject an element of humor. Because it's part of life. And just because you take the Torah seriously doesn't mean they don't have a sense of humor. The Chazon Ish was dead serious when you talked to him halacha. But if you spoke to him in any other realm, if you spoke to him about life, he was filled with life and he was jovial. His students record games he'd play with them. He'd joke around with them when they were taking a break from the learning. There are stories about how youthful he was, filled with life. When he was learning, he was dead serious when he was outside the learning. So there was a tremendous pleasantness to being with him. So I think this is something which one can learn also by observing people. Look at Rav Bigon. You see peace. I purposely came the first Shabbos after Rav Bigon buried his son. I came to Machon Meir, that we would daven here when we were living in the neighborhood. We would daven here on many Friday nights, but not every Friday night. Depended on our schedule. That Friday night I came. And I said to myself, I want to see greatness. I was confident that I would see him that Friday night. I would have a lesson for life. And I did. To see him giving his speech, going into Shabbos, talking as calmly and as gently as he always had. That was a lesson for me, for life. I think by observing we can learn a lot. And again, by working on ourselves in a calm, organized way. Part of it is not making demands that are unrealistic. Very often we walk around in frustration because we have expectations of ourselves that are not realistic. A guy walks into Machon Meir. Now he discovers he should not be using a cell phone on Shabbos. He can't eat cheeseburgers anymore. And he can't shave his payas anymore. He has to buy a new shaver. He's not allowed to use his razor anymore. So he says to himself, okay, by next week I'm going to do all of that. And then he gets very frustrated because the first Shabbos, he lasts 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours into Shabbos. He gets an SMS and he has a hard time staying away from the phone. Who said a person can turn his whole life around in 1 week? But he's frustrated with himself. Why is he frustrated with himself? Hashem expects us to make radical changes so quickly. Just because something's right doesn't mean we can adopt it in 1 day. Growth has to be gradual. You'll ask me, should a person answer his phone on Shabbos? No. Is it prohibited? Yes. Does that mean that in 1 day a person can switch everything? You grow gradually. When we teach a person about kashrut, we don't tell him to wait 6 hours between meat and milk. We tell him, don't eat meat and milk together. After he gets used to eating kosher, not eating meat and milk together, after half a year, a year, we start telling him, maybe you should wait an hour between meat and milk. Gradually, he'll grow into waiting 6 hours. But the first day, he's like, I'm not supposed to go to Burger King anymore, and I have to buy things that are kosher, and I can't eat meat and milk. And it's okay, that's hard enough. Well, I remember the student who came here and told me how hard it was when he stopped going to Burger King. He'd only eat shrimp. Okay, and then he said 2 years of only eating shrimp. He'd force himself only to eat shrimp, only to discover 2 years later that shrimp wasn't kosher either. Okay, poor guy, you know, he was working very hard. He'd force himself to only eat shrimp. Okay, 2 years later he discovered that doesn't work either. Okay, you guys are laughing, but it's not funny. It's hard. It's real. And again, growth is best when it works in a tranquil way. Continued growth, but out of balance, and a feeling of self-worth. This frustration we have with ourselves is very often because we have expectations that are not realistic. And Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba B'Tzuneim B'riyotav, Hashem does not make unrealistic demands of us. He expects us to grow in a normal way. Continue growing, but in a normal way, in a balanced, happy way. So that's part of what the Chazon Ish is teaching us here. The idea of this beautiful human being who can be kind to others, accepting of others as he is demanding of himself, and continues growing and loving humanity and being accepting of humanity. As kind as he is accepting that others are not yet there. And that is another point which is very difficult for Chozrim B'Tshuva. Very often, because a person has worked so hard to accomplish things, so a person doesn't have patience for others who have not yet accomplished them. So a person can be very short-tempered with other people. Our biggest complaints about converts, about Geirim, come from converts, from Geirim. The people who themselves convert afterwards hold the other people in the conversion process to a very high standard. And they're very impatient with people who don't live up to that standard. It's understandable. The person worked very hard to get where he got to. So he looks at others and say, why don't you do that? Chazon Ish just taught us. We have to have a high standard for ourselves. We have to be patient and accepting of others and understanding of others. And the Chazon Ish stressed accepting and loving and not condescending. We're not looking down at them. We can love them and accept them the way they are.